It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Now it's time for another Guy Benson Show, Benson Bite, where we bring you the day's most interesting interviews in a bite-sized package. For the full episode, visit GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Joining us now is U.S. Senator Steve Daines, Republican of Montana. He is the chairman of the NRSC this cycle. And Senator, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, glad to join you, Guy.
Before we get into these races and the map for Senate Republicans this year, I just want to quickly get your reaction to the explosion of anti-Semitism, chaos, lawlessness across so many campuses on our country, in our country right now. We were talking a bit about it in the last hour. New developments seemingly by the minute. I know you've been very concerned about this.
Look, Guy, it's shocking to see what's happening across these campuses. This is rooted in anti-Semitism and it's hate. This has no place in America. You know, everybody has a right to free speech, but the First Amendment does not protect the right to threaten, to intimidate Jewish students, to disrupt classes. You know, you look at the emphasis on these universities. They will talk all day, these elites, about embracing diversity and inclusion as long as Jewish students and Jewish professors are excluded. So this is just the hypocrisy that's going on, and frankly, this dangerous ideology that we're seeing across campuses in our country. You know, Guy, we did a little research on the amount of money, federal money, going to some of these universities. Columbia, last fiscal year, received $1.2 billion from the federal government. Yale, $776 million. Harvard, $676 million. UT Austin, which is, you know, we're watching this before our very eyes today, received about $646 million. And that's why one of the actions we're taking is I've joined several of my Republican colleagues. By the way, zero Democrats, only Republicans, are calling for the defunding of these universities that are promoting anti-Semitism. One last point. When you hear this chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. This is a slogan that we're hearing across the country with these anti-Semitic protests. That phrase calls for the destruction of the state of Israel, for the removal of the Jewish people. This is very, very dangerous. Can you imagine for a moment if there was a center-right or conservative group with this kind of action that was promoting, you know, the removal of any ethnic group on campus, they would be immediately condemned and arrested. And so this is why we must stand firm at this, I think, dangerous moment in our history as a nation to full-throated condemn what's going on and make sure we have moral clarity at this moment, when frankly there's a lot of hate and evil brewing on campuses across our country.
You know, a number of weeks ago there was an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal talking about Dearborn, Michigan as the capital of jihad in the United States. And you had a bunch of Democrats just jumping out of their skins to condemn the Wall Street Journal and the author of that piece. And we didn't see quite as much condemnation from those people when just weeks later you watched and listened to death to America chants in the streets of Dearborn, Michigan. And part of the reason why those condemnations weren't forthcoming is because it's not a secret. The Democrats have decided that the pro-Hamas hate rallies and these mobs represent at least some significant portion of their base upon whom they're going to rely to win elections in November. And in the state of Michigan, there's a Senate race where the Democrats are putting someone forward who has been absolutely silent, is my understanding, about some of these hate rallies, even on her own alma mater's campus. A real profile in courage, it would seem, in that state.
You know, Guy, this is a moment as leaders in our country when we need to be outspoken and to have moral clarity on this very important issue. This is the problem the Biden administration has, is that first of all, that there's no moral basis to the beliefs right now at the White House. They don't know what to do. That's why you've got Blinken over in the Middle East on one hand trying to promote a deal between Saudi Arabia and Israel, which would be a very good thing, but at the same time telling the Israelis what they can and can't do as it relates to securing their nation, protecting themselves from the terrorists, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Iran. So they're just spinning out of control in the White House. I just can envision what's going to happen in August when the Democrats have their national convention in Chicago. This is going to be a mess, as you're going to see so many of these anti-Semitics there protesting. Anti-Israel, the hate for Jews, for Israel, will be on full display. The Democrats know this is a huge political problem for them. Never mind the moral problem. They know this is a political problem, and that's why in Michigan, you've got a guy like Mike Rogers, the Republican, running for that open seat. And open seats are always easier seats usually to win than having an incumbent in place. Senator Stabenow retired, so Michigan's an open seat. But the Democrats have a problem in their so-called blue wall, which is Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. They know these are very important battleground states for the presidency, but all three are very important battleground states for the U.S. Senate. And so when you have Michigan, that race is tied with Mike Rogers at the moment. He was former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, just a wonderful leader. He has moral clarity on Israel. He has moral clarity on condemning anti-Semitism full-throated without stuttering, unlike his opponent. And so when you've got Dearborn, Michigan, they're chanting death to America. When you're seeing the protests erupting around the nation, Mike Rogers has clarity. His opponent doesn't know what to do. They're running for cover because they know they've got a huge political problem on both sides.
Yeah, exactly. So there's sort of like Alyssa Slotkin is her name, who tries to present herself as a kind of more moderate Democrat. But when the chips are down, she votes with her party, you know, nearly 100% of the time. And with so much at stake, just good and evil when it comes to Israel and Hamas, she'll put out occasional statements, but not in ways that would cause any potential political pain or risk to herself. When leadership is required, she is not showing it. So that's Michigan, roughly tied based on some of the polls that I've seen. You just referenced that. Wisconsin, that place is always tied, right? The election for the presidency is almost exactly, you know, Trump's up, I think, 1 point on average. It seems like a tougher road there because it's an incumbent running for the Democrats, but not an impossible one at all. For Eric Hovde, who we've had on this program, the Republican, a businessman running there. We also have enjoyed having a Dave McCormick here on the show. He's up against this scion of privilege and political power, Bob Casey, famous last name in Pennsylvania. Polls showing Casey still ahead right now. How are you approaching those races in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania? How winnable are those?
Yeah, well, you said it exactly right. These states are both on the razor edge for the presidency, particularly Wisconsin. Pennsylvania will be as well. This is going to be a plus or minus one or two state, perhaps, by the time it gets to November at the presidential level. Well, Trump right now is leading in Pennsylvania. Wisconsin's tied. Michigan is leading. But here's what's different for Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania and Eric Hovde in Wisconsin is they both cleared the primary. There's no primary in Pennsylvania for Dave McCormick. That really hurt our efforts back in 22. Dave McCormick has a clear shot, has no primary opponent, so he can stay on the attack and clarifying the difference between himself and Bob Casey. And as you know, Guy, every single Democrat is trying to sound as Republican as they can in some of these states. But the reality is they're voting with Joe Biden 95 to 98% of the time. I mean, who wants to be attached to Joe Biden? This will be the dilemma. It'll be fun to watch, Guy. When Joe Biden's campaigning in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, I just wonder if those Democrat Senate candidates want to be on the same stage. You know, he has the worst numbers in 70 years. He makes Jimmy Carter look Reagan-esque right now. Biden's numbers are so bad.
So you might see a problem if Biden or Harris show up in a state. You might see some scheduling conflicts, perhaps.
Well, you might. I can just imagine they'll have some kind of cutout of Ronald Reagan on the stage or something here at a separate rally where they're far away from Joe Biden. But that's because, you know, the nation, they've got Joe Biden figured out. I mean, truly, guy, his numbers could hardly get any worse. They probably will between now and Election Day, because it looks like every macro factor is only getting worse for President Biden, not getting better. And so it's not going to be a pretty night in November if you are Joe Biden and anybody attached to him and his agenda. The voters, these independent voters, are running away from Joe Biden. And this is the crazy part about this election, is how unpopular Joe Biden is. And that's why great candidates like Dave McCormick, like Mike Rogers, like Eric Hovde, these are all stand-up men. And we've got great women as well in some of the races like New Mexico with Nella Domenici. But I tell you, these are all ready to lead senators from day one. They're not going to need any training wheels once they get elected and start serving in January 25.
So we'll see what happens in the upper Midwest, in the Rust Belt. Looking a few other places, you've got almost a slam dunk. You don't want to jinx anything, but West Virginia looks like that is going to be a flip. Joe Manchin is out. It's an open seat. That state is super red. Donald Trump will be on the ticket. So, I mean, Democrats, I don't think, are going to really even try to contest that in a serious way. Then you've got some potentially low-hanging fruit for Republicans to go out and pick up additional seats they need to net two to guarantee a Senate majority. And I know you think that they can do a lot better than just two seat gains. But you look at Ohio, you look at your state, Montana. Let's talk about those two states. You know, Ohio is a Trump plus eight or nine state, but Sherrod Brown has been a tough nut to crack. He's got a machine in that state. Do things change for him this cycle? And then the same question about John Tester. I don't want to make it too awkward, because you serve with him together in the Senate. I've always called him Chuck Schumer with a flat top haircut. I mean, he looks the part of a moderate, and he votes Chuck Schumer's way all the time. He's gotten a little lucky in terms of what cycles he's been up in his opponents. Seems to have a really good opponent this time. How do you handicap those two races?
Yeah. Well, just before we talk specifically about Montana and Ohio, I think it's important when you step back and look at the map in 24, that we have three red states that that have Democrats defending their reelection for the Senate. And that's what you mentioned, West Virginia, Montana, Ohio. But these states are very red. I mean, every single statewide official in West Virginia, in Montana, in Ohio is a Republican. And Trump will win West Virginia by 35 to 40 points, will win Montana by 15 to 20 points, and Ohio by 6 to 10 points. And so they've got incredible headwind for those three states. And you're exactly right. Sherrod Brown and John Tester have had the benefit of running the last two times. You go back to 2012, that was a pretty popular Obama presidential election year. 18 was a midterm. This is now the first time they will be on the ballot when President Trump is also on the ballot. Those are Trumpy states. You know, Montana and Ohio have clearly become more conservative, more red, since the last time John Tester was on the ballot, as well as Sherrod Brown. And by the way, on West Virginia, you're right, that race is over. I'm a conservative forecaster, but the Democrats have given up West Virginia. And that was not by accident. We recruited a very strong candidate in Governor Jim Justice. We had President Trump endorse him, and that then sent Joe Manchin to the exits, and he retired. So we picked up that seat without having to spend virtually any money. Had Joe Manchin run, that would have been a $50 to $100 million Senate race at least. Now you go to Montana. Tim Sheehy, latest polls, one public poll in our internals, have him up a couple points, which I'm surprised he's even up at this point. It's hard when you're just starting out, your right. Name ID lacks, a guy who's served, you know, for 18 years in the U.S. Senate. But he's actually right now, they're neck and neck in this race. That's a great position for Tim Sheehy to be in between now and the election. I've watched Montana closely for a long time. When I ran for my reelect in 20, guy, you know, the Democrat thought they had this race. In fact, Charlie Cook had this as a lean Democrat state all the way to Election Day. We ended up winning by 10 points, 55-45. The reality is, in Montana, we're seeing center-right voters fleeing California, Oregon, Washington. We call these folks refugees coming to Montana, not missionaries. They're coming to join us, not to change us. And consequently, the state has gotten redder since the last time John Tester ran. By the way, he only won by 18,000 votes in 2018. Just quantifiably, we have had more center-right voters register in Montana than his winning margin back in 18.
Yeah, so, I mean, those headwinds – sorry to jump in, Senator, because we're up on a hard break. Those headwinds are going to be tough, but – you know, he's going to have a ton of money and party support behind him. Same with Sherrod Brown in Ohio. There's other states we didn't even get to, plus some of the red states and Republican seats that the Democrats are going to spend a boatload in Texas and maybe Florida. So there's more to this picture. Hopefully we can have this conversation again in a couple weeks and get an update based on what you're seeing on the ground, what your internal polls are showing as well. Hopefully you're open to that because we would love to have you back.
I will, Guy. Our biggest issue is resources right now. Truly, we're being outspent, outraised 3-1. That's where we need help. Thanks,
and where,
Guy.
Where can people help?
Boy, I'll tell you, you can go to Senate24.com. We've got a website there that we can direct dollars directly to candidates. So that's the first place to go. And the $25, $30 donations make a big, big difference right now. That's how the Democrats are beating us. They've got millions coming in through small donations. We've got to answer what they're doing at the moment.
NRSC chairman in the 2024 cycle and U.S. Senator from Montana, Steve Daines.
That was yet another Benson Bite.
Senator,
for
soon.
Full
Thanks
episodes
so
of The Guy Benson Show, Thanks, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown. Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.